Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk. Aloha everybody, it's Paul here at the War Room. This is going to be one of the stacked up podcasts. It's a Monday podcast here in New York, but it won't be Tuesday till it goes up along with last Friday's at the same time. Anyway, into it, bolt action. Well, in case you hadn't realised, I was at Adepticon at the weekend, and what a great time we have had. You will know already, I managed to get one of the Adepticon cogs, what they call the medals there. So that was pretty darn neat, and thank you to Mr. Sean Vilmont, the Wahoo Warrior, for being my partner and getting me a cog. We had a great time. We bunked up as buddies at the hotel just across the road, and Sean was really good about giving me a lift in and back everywhere and waiting for me, so much appreciated that, Sean. Had a fantastic weekend, but boy, what a long weekend that was. On Friday night, it felt like Sunday, so by the time we got to Sunday, it was feeling like a week-long's worth of tournaments. Met some great new friends out there. Managed to meet some people I admire in the community. Big shout out to Mr. James Wapple, who was good enough to spend a bit of time with us, and we did manage to film a wee interview with him, which will go up on the War Room show. Now, James, for those of you who don't know, is one of the more famed mini artists around there, and he does do an awful lot of work. I mean, he does all his work covers the whole miniature gamut, if you like, but he does do and specialise in a lot of World War II stuff, and he has his own podcast. He does some live feeds. You may have seen him painting the Cubus live on Facebook recently. And he has his own channel, and he has some painting seminars which you can log into. So I would encourage you to go and look there. Sorry, I was just getting distracted a bit. I'm in the airport at the moment trying to record this. So we've got sounds going on all about. People trying to go about their daily work. And you know me, guys, I'm very easily distracted. So we're talking about James. We sat down and talked with him. He was explaining to me about using oils to paint with, and that's something that looks to be very intriguing. He's got a couple of online films out there and tutorials, which I think I will be buying into. He feels that blending with the oils is much easier. It's much easier and gives you a much quicker finish and a much more professional finish, and some of his work is stunning. One of the things that I was really taken with by how much stuff he's working on, we went down there and he has a whole setup called and they call it Wapple Castle, and they have a huge load of seats, all with daylight lights for painting under. There's paint stations there. You can just go out, chill out and paint. It's right in the sort of centre of where all the painting seminar rooms are. It's probably about half a dozen to a dozen painting seminar rooms. Seminars going on all through the day for those that are particularly interested in the art. And of course, Adepticon is the home of the Crystal Brush, which is, well, certainly the last time I looked, it's the biggest prize money for a painting competition. So you do get all the, a good selection of the best painters in the world coming to Crystal Brush. So yeah, Asat James has got a huge area of seating there. There's probably something like about 50 paint stations with James sat in the middle, but he is one of the most approachable people I have ever met, and in a game where there are so many approachable and friendly people, that is saying something. We had a great discussion. For those of us in the UK, we talked for about half an hour about Allo Allo, which is one of his favourite TV shows, and inspiring me to maybe get started on a special project that'll take a wee while, collecting up the minis and things. But I think I will be doing an Allo Allo army now that most of the models are all there. I've just got to pin down the minis, and I know a guy did it at Cambridge too far, so let's say it's a homage to that, but it was James that's actually inspired me to maybe have a look and do that. He's painting up, as I said, Jamie's Polish Kubus at the moment. Fantastic job on that. The Kubus, is when it comes out and people are buying it, is going to come in many shades and varieties. There's only black and white pictures, so nobody really knows, and we can't trace anybody who can remember what the actual colours the Kubus was painted in. So we are only presuming. They do have a Kubus in Polish War Museum, but it was painted many years after, and they didn't actually know the true colours it was, so all you can do is a best generalisation. But he was saying, one of the things that impressed me is he was saying that the Kubus is the best resin mini that he's ever done, which he said on camera and off camera when we were talking about it. He said, you know, he confirmed that it was the best one. I'm just going to put this on hold for a second. Yeah, one of the vagaries of trying to record in an airport is the security announcements. Yeah, but James was saying that at first he thought there was going to be a lot of fiddly bits, but when he looked at it, all the fiddly bits fit absolutely perfectly. He said that the wheels and everything, they fit so well that he almost did not need to use glue. They were that good a fit, everything went in perfectly, and there was... the only cleaning up he had to do with the model was the usual giving it a scrub to get the release agent off the surfaces and cutting off the two lugs where they pour in the resin. And that was all work. He didn't have to do any of the usual soaking stuff in hot water to bend it back into shape, etc. So he was very, very impressed, and I can't wait to get my hands on them. And hopefully once we get the website back up, you'll be able to buy those online from the War HQ. Now, yeah, so my previous podcast took us up to the Friday night, I think, where I was, as I say, lucky to win the pair's best axis with Sean. There was no winner or loser, there was just best axis, best allies. Three quarters of the entry, roughly, was axis. So I'm quite chuffed with that. I'll take that as an actual win. But I've got the actual medal, so I'm very happy. But the Saturday was US Nationals. I started off with a major win. I then went to a minor loss. I was a little bit disappointed with that. My fourth game, it was touch and go right up to really the last turn. I think the first three turns I was pretty sure I was going to get a major win. The fourth turn it was, yeah, I could still pull off a major win here. And by the sixth turn I was on a major loss. So that didn't go to plan. I was well beaten by US Marine Army. Yeah, I think it was a US Marine Army, which was really nicely done. And to be honest, I just fluffed it. It was point defence, and I just played it all wrong. He played it all right, so hats off. But it was a great game. We had good fun. By that time, I was seriously starting to flag. I was absolutely shattered. I hadn't really noticed it. And the next game after that, I decided with one loss at US Nationals, you aren't going to be in the prizes, to be honest. So I decided the last game I was just going to go out and fun, and no matter what I was playing, the Japanese were going to charge across the board. So that's what we did. I was playing a young lad who was best opponent of the whole competition. He was game for a laugh. He was playing playing British Airborne. So I was giving him a right ribbing for playing the British Airborne. But he wiped the bat with me. What were we playing? It was basically a dice game, but they called it Scalp. So there was a little twist on it, that for every unit killed, you put a scalp by it. You marked it with a scalp. So for every kill, you marked out which units had the kills. And at the end, the winner was decided by how many kills you'd had, which is basically dice, and also you got extra points for having the unit that had killed the most, and the etc. And it gave the usual meeting engagement sort of scenario a nice little twist on it, which was interesting. So I quite liked that. They did really well with the scenarios. I was very impressed. Jay was running it again, and he did really, really well. I was very impressed with the way he ran the event. The tables were all superb. Right, let's go back to what position did I finish at? I ended up finishing probably about top of the bottom third, I would guess. So I was disappointed with my showing. That third game maybe got to me a little bit. But it was, as I say, it was an excellent competition. I don't think they've actually released the results that I've seen as yet, so only know who the winners, etc. are. But coming back to the organisation, there was one of the tables that I played on was a slightly strange experience. When I got to the table, it was a snow mat and it was just covered in single trees. And we got to it and said, how are we going to play this table? And they said, that is one piece of terrain. So the entire thing. So it was played. The entire thing was played as forest. It was entirely rough ground, and you got soft cover anywhere in the forest unless you were within an inch of the enemy. And at first, I thought, what the heck? What a cheap excuse for a table, I'll be absolutely honest. So we started off playing it, and you know what? It was a really good table to play on. And that sounds really strange, but it kind of just worked. So I'll maybe take that back to Scotland, and we'll try it in a club a few times just to make sure that scenario wasn't a one-off. But it's a really easy table to do. Minimal amount of scenery, etc. Just bung on a load of trees and away you go. You don't have to do it on a snowboard, obviously. You can do it on any board. Trees do annoy me, it'd be fair to say, but this kind of worked very well, and I really enjoyed it. So by the end of it, I was, oh, this is brilliant. So something a wee bit different, a wee bit different to playing an open table as such. And because you're all in the area terrain, you can see anything that's in the wood, so there's line of sight on anything, but you are taking that minus one for soft cover to hit everything. So, yeah, as I say, that was interesting. What else stood out in the competition? Rules query-wise, and I need to go back and look, but we were sitting around and having a discussion, and we were talking about the Japanese and their fanatic rule. And I think it was Sean played against somebody with Japanese in the US Nationals or something. He was saying how it was one of the few times he'd ever taken out a unit just by pinning them out. And one of the guys at the table said, well, you do realise that the Japanese don't go when you pin them out. Because they're fanatics, they only go when you get them down to one man and fail the order test. And we all at that camp possibly be true. He says, no, if they've got 12 pins on them, for example, they don't run until you get them down to that one man. Oh, I like that. Can't possibly true. And to be fair, I didn't actually look up the rule. So guys, all go to your rule books and message me whether this is wrong or right. But one of the other guys did look it up and read it out of the rule book. And unless there's a FAQ or something somewhere, I do actually think he's right. You don't pin out Japanese units or fanatic units in general until they get down to that last man and have to take the order check. It just seems incredible. I will be checking that, by the way. But that was one of the interesting topics of conversation. The event was well supported by all the various companies, etc. Supported by the friend of the War Room, Mr. Alan Rockwell at GC Minis, and of course by the boys at Warlord USA. Spent a bit of time talking with the guys and mixing with the guys from Warlord USA. What a fantastic bunch of guys they are, and they have a lot of time for everybody. Met Eric, who is one of the newest recruits to the Russell's Raiders group, which are sort of the demo team that go around and demo Warlord games. And got to know him a little bit, and he made me very welcome, and I was well chuffed to be able to talk to him and get his view. What a fabulous gamer he is. He ran the Test of Honor tournament, which was on the Sunday, and at one time I thought I was going to have to play in it. I've only played one demo game, which was a long time ago with Harrison, and we didn't really like the demo game all that much. But having had to sit down in the morning and read the rules from start to finish, I actually might give the Wii game a chance. I love the minis, so I might take that up. We'll see. And I bought one of the Gates of Antares novel books, so I'm going to read the Gates of Antares novel books and see if that will increase my interest in Gates. And I think I might be tempted to give K-47 a try, but we'll see, because I am aware that I've only got a certain amount of time to play games. I actually love bolt action. I would just play bolt action back to front the entire time if I was given a chance. I was wanting to take people on at 500 points during the lunch times, but nobody was taking me on. So the Warlord guys, what else were we saying to them? I did a wee interview with John Russell, which you will be able to see on the War Room show. Be aware that John Russell is also looking for scenarios. Sorry about that, guys. An alarm went off just right next to where I'm recording at the moment. Gosh, what were we talking about? The Warlord guy. So, yeah, we did an interview with John Russell. He was telling us a bit more about what's going to be a campaign book for the Korean War that's coming, and we are going to get some Chinese minis coming from Warlord. So for anybody that wants to play bolt action Chinese, that's interesting. We will be getting a starter kit from Warlord in the summer. It's going to be one of the £40 boxes for the UK guys, or a $50 box for the US guys. Got no idea what that's going to be in Australia or anywhere else. Forgive me, folks, you can do your own conversions. And it's going to be Africa Corps and I think Desert Rats. Might be Americans. No, I think, pretty sure it's going to be Desert Rats. I hear there's going to be a Rommel figure and a General Montgomery figure in the pack. But again, that's just speculation, guys. It's just tidbits I've heard. We'll wait and see what it is. So it means that Plastic Dak and Plastic Rats will be coming in the summer, so a bit earlier than we were expecting. We thought they would be out when the Western Desert book comes out, but it looks like we're getting those in the summer, and then it'll be a lot of Italian stuff and bits and pieces that come out with the Western Desert book later on. So that was interesting, and we are going to be getting a skirmish game where it's a dice per character for bolt action, probably sometime next year. Not that there aren't enough skirmish games that we could play, but that looks to be very interesting. Really looking forward to that. I'm not sure about Korea. It's one of those theatres that I don't know hardly anything about, apart from the fact I'm guessing it was set in Korea, and I think that's about it. I know about it, actually, so yeah, blatantly showing my ignorance to the four there. So, looking forward to that. What else was happening down at Warlord? Not a lot, but my apologies to you, John, and the guys. I did say I would come down and help you pack up, but when I came down at 3 o'clock, they wouldn't let me back into the hall without a vendor's pass. So my apologies, guys. The thought was there, but I just had to make my way. Hopefully Eric passed on my apologies. I did see him and let him know before I went off. And coming home, bit of a challenge coming home. At the moment, I'm sitting at the airport, having had what should have been sort of an 18-hour stopover, but because the first plane was very, very late, I didn't get in till 4 o'clock in the morning from what was supposed to be an 8 o'clock flight from Chicago to New York. For those that you know, it's normally a couple of hour flight. Turned into about a 6 hour stretch. Got in at 4 o'clock, found a quick hotel, and my next flight out is not until 7 o'clock US time this evening, which will get me back much later on. So yeah, that's a shame, but it was well worth the trip. I would seriously reckon to anybody to go to Adepticon. It's a fantastic time. There's five days. It actually opens up on Thursday night. Opens up on Wednesday night. There's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's basically a 5-day show. There is an awful lot to do. There's a lot of competitions on. Loads of pickup games. Loads and loads of demos, etc. I got the Star Wars Legion game for Harrison and did a quick demo with that, which I quite liked. And what I really quite like is the minis. I think the minis are pretty well done. I thought the demo game for the demo, slightly complicated. I think once I've had a read through of the rules, it'll iron out little niggles that I had when I was playing the demo. And you only got a couple of turns for the demo, so if you've had a proper sort of 6-turn game, looks to be a game that's probably about the same sort of length as playing Bolt Action, I would say. So depending on the points, you'd be playing an hour to sort of two and a half hours usually. So very similar kind of thing. But I'm up to the time for just about leaving off here. The next podcast I do will be on Friday, and we'll be getting ready to go down south to go to Lincoln to see Gaz Walsh and the guys and take part in the competition down there. And then on the Sunday we'll be going off to the show's sponsors, the Battle Bunker in Boston. That's Boston, UK. No international travel for me this weekend, and we'll be meeting up with Nick and possibly getting a few games in. So that's going to be a full but tiring weekend. And then I think the one after that is Roll Call at the beginning of April, which I need to get my list in for pretty damn quick. So sorry, guys. And we'll be bringing you all the news for those. For just now, guys, mahalo, take care, and we'll speak to you very, very soon.